Whatever your view of the present government, across a range from strongly supportive to massively hostile, can we agree that one of the biggest changes it's making is to the welfare and benefits system? During next year, universal credit is due to replace a whole series of individual benefits. But now this programme has discovered that 70 organisations are flagging up serious concerns about the government's plans, and many of these organisations are heavily involved in implementing the radical changes which universal credit requires. We've seen the written evidence submitted to the House of Commons Work and Pensions Committee, and much of it makes very uncomfortable reading for ministers. First, here's our political correspondent, Chris Mason.
James, the universal credit attempts to address what the Work and Pensions Secretary Ian Duncan Smith sees as the two principal failings of the current benefits system: complexity and failing to make it worthwhile to take up paid employment. And make no mistake, this is no passing whim from Mr. Duncan Smith. Shaking up the welfare state is what drives him in politics. But 70 organisations representing councils, charities, trades unions, business groups and housing organisations have submitted evidence to a committee of MPs raising concerns about his plans. Let's be clear, most acknowledge the government's motivations for reform are sound, but two key themes emerge which suggest significant and persistent worries about the practicalities of making the idea work. Firstly, a range of potential implications are raised, both for potential recipients of universal credit and those responsible for delivering it. Secondly, others say the government's timetable for introducing the changes and the technology they rely on is suspect. First, to the implications of the proposed changes. Ministers are very keen the new system should be managed and run online. The National Housing Federation and the Public Sector Union Unison raise concerns, as do Citizens Advice. We'll read for you from their submission.
The new universal credit system risks causing difficulties to the 8.5 million people who have never used the internet and a further 14.5 million who have virtually no ICT skills.
There are widespread concerns too about paying universal credit monthly. Here's what the homelessness charity St Mungo's had to say.
Direct monthly payments to claimants are a risk to the health and safety of vulnerable people. Many of our clients find it difficult to manage their benefit payments over the current two-week interval.
In other words, a fear that people will have to resort to payday loans with their massive interest rates. What about the implications for family dynamics too? Universal credit will be paid to one person per household. Women's groups fear that will be bad news. The Women's Resource and Development Agency claims 80% of universal credit payments to households will be to men. This will be, they say, a hugely retrograde step in terms of progressing gender equality. Worries too extend to Conservatives in local government. Here's an extract from the evidence submitted by the East Riding of Yorkshire Council.
The single payment per household means there is a possibility of increases in domestic violence and abuse. If face-to-face support were to be withdrawn when universal credit is introduced, this would potentially have a detrimental effect on the number of customers claiming. East Riding of Yorkshire Council is very concerned about how the most vulnerable residents will cope with the transition from existing benefits to universal credit.
And then there are the issues around getting the new system up and running successfully. At the heart of universal credit is what is known as the real-time information system. The aim is it'll be much more responsive to people's changing circumstances. It'll require employers to update changes in their employees' pay more frequently. The self-employed will have to report their income every month. The Chartered Institutes of Taxation point out the extra burden for small businesses and entrepreneurs. The employers' organisation, the CBI, adds that the computer system that will run universal credit is under an extremely tight timeline. The Local Government Association chimes in, saying there's a real risk it simply won't happen on time. The government insists its computers are up to the job and robust. Advice will be available to people switching to universal credit. Monthly payments mirror most people's wage arrangements, and pushing people to manage their claims online saves taxpayers money and encourages computer literacy, so important in the modern job market. In short, James, those that will make Ian Duncan Smith's big plan work or not do think he's onto something here, but they fret about the practicalities. As Sue Cameron in The Telegraph put it some time ago on this, the devil is in the delivery.
Chris Mason, our political correspondent, thank you very much. Well, before we speak to some of the experts about those detailed worries, I've been to see someone currently on a range of benefits to get a view from the front line of both the welfare system and the change to universal credit. This is no scientific study, but it is a perspective from the real world.
My name's Chris O'Reilly, I'm 50 years old. I live in Clapton on an estate. Before it changed to ESA, I was on incapacity benefit. At the moment, I'm on £120 a fortnight.
Just explain to me, if you could, how do you budget your £120 a fortnight?
First thing, electricity. Second thing, gas. The phone is not something I'll put money on if I can't afford it. After I've done the shopping, if I've got, like, 15 quid there, I've forgotten to pay something. At the moment, I've got, like, 3 quid down there to last me until next Friday. I can probably go out and buy myself another couple of loaves of bread, and that will be it.
Part of the move towards universal credit will be that the government says they want to pay out monthly rather than weekly or fortnightly. How would that work for you?
Won't work at all. I can't budget for that. It won't work. I will go without electricity, or I may go without gas. If I go without gas, I've got no hot water. I've got no heating. They haven't thought this one through. They don't talk to people. They just... Someone comes up with an idea, and that's it. Go, oh, that blinding, we'll have some of that. But they don't talk to people like me.
I think Ian Duncan Smith, the minister, would say that actually he spent a lot of time travelling around Britain talking to people, maybe not to you.
Yeah, well, travelling around in a chauffeur-driven car is one thing, but actually living in a place with only £2 on your meter is something else. He can afford these bills. We have to budget for ours. I would say to David Cameron, George Osborne, who's that other one? The little geezer, the one that does the running about for, Clegg. I would say to them, go on the dole for a year before you tell us how we should live. You've never been in the situation. If you've got no experience of the situation, shut up. Spend a year in my shoes, and then after that, tell me that I'm not doing anything. £120 a fortnight, £60 a week, and I'm expected to survive on that.
The views of Chris O'Reilly, and I should just add that Chris told me he can't afford a computer or any sort of internet connection to enable him to access the coming Universal Credit online. Well, we requested an interview with the Work and Pension Secretary, Ian Duncan Smith, but we've been told he's not able to talk to us. A spokesperson at the department said that the Secretary of State is looking forward to giving evidence to the Work and Pension Select Committee in 8 days' time. Well, without Mr Duncan Smith, I've been talking instead to someone who helped shape his policy. He's Devon Galani of the Centre for Social Justice, a think tank set up by Ian Duncan Smith. So does Devon Galani think a new welfare system is needed?
Anyone who's had experience of the benefit system as it currently stands will say that it's by far from what we would want in a benefit system. It's a system that traps people in dependency and that far too often doesn't reward the decision to move into work.
We've just seen this huge weight of evidence from some 70 organisations, many of whom have real fears about the implementation of this new scheme. First, they don't think some of the poorest in society can cope with being paid monthly rather than fortnightly, that they simply won't be able to budget.
Whenever you have change as big as universal credit, as fundamental as universal credit, and as critical as universal credit, there will be problems to be overcome. There will be questions asked about decisions that were made along the way, and it's absolutely right that there is proper scrutiny. Of course, there need to be safeguards in place for those households and families that struggle. With universal credit, you're simplifying the system, which I think is fundamental to making it clear and making it work for many people. And I don't think that the benefit system was the best place necessarily to try and tackle all of those problems. So if people are struggling to budget, it's better to help them learn how to manage their finances more effectively. And I think that's one aspect that the universal credit pilots are looking at, the direct payments pilots, the local authority pilots.
Government will have to set up new schemes to make universal credit work.
A shift of universal credit is to be able to focus some of those resources in actually helping people on an individual level, on a face-to-face level, helping them with the problems that they have in their life. Because actually, if you talk to people who have experience of the benefit system today, that's what they want.
Another big objection that comes through from a lot of this evidence from different organisations, and I'll quote the East Riding of Yorkshire Council, most of the poorest people in rural areas they deal with simply don't have access to the internet and will be disadvantaged by universal credit.
My understanding of the structure of the implementation of universal credit is that there will be those safeguards in place. There'll be opportunities to make claims over the telephone, make assisted claims, possibly by working alongside a community organisation or a local authority advisor to help them make that claim either over the internet or over the telephone. So those do need to be there.
Devon Galani of the Centre for Social Justice. Well, we can speak now to Dame Anne Begg, who chairs the Work and Pensions Select Committee. Dame Anne, good afternoon. The government calls the move to universal credit the most radical redesign of the benefit system this country has ever seen. But do you think ministers are risking extra hardship for some of the poorest in society because of the ways they've chosen to implement the changes?
They're absolutely right that this is a real radical change to benefit. I think in the House, the Chamber, I said it was the holy grail of benefits reform, something which is easy to understand, is simple, and also makes sure that those who are in work earn more than those who are out of work. But of course, the devil is always in the detail and the implementation, which is why my select committee has put out the call of evidence that you're quoting today about the fears that some organisations have about how this will work in practice. Some of the questions we don't have answers for. Some are questions that are being answered but not being answered fully. Sometimes we don't quite know how the government will actually operate some of these things in practice.
Dame Anne, without asking you to preempt the findings of your committee, let's just take apart a couple of the objections and questions from so many organisations. For instance, the objection to the assumption that claimants will have access to the internet when many of them can't afford any access to the internet.
Well, indeed, I tried to get wireless broadband for my flat just the other day, and I couldn't find anything less than £30 a month now. And the kind of income that many people on benefit have, that is completely out of the scope that they can afford. We know that more and more people are using the internet for things like Facebook, but there's a big difference between accessing the internet for social means as opposed to accessing the internet for claiming benefit. And particularly, there will be concerns, and we'll be asking witnesses around the concerns of how you make sure that the data is secure, that people who are there to help people make a claim will be able to access the claims online on other people's behalfs. And these kinds of sorts, very basic questions about how the system will work in practice.
And Beg, what about objections to replacing weekly or fortnightly payments with monthly ones?
Well, I have to say that hearing the chap from the Centre for Social Justice, I don't think someone who survives on £60 a week is a bad budgeter. I think they're a blooming good budgeter. They've been able to make their very little money go as far as it possibly can. And I don't think lessons on how to budget more effectively will necessarily make much of a difference. They are already surviving and managing on very little money. Therefore, they can do that. And the difficulty is that it's very difficult to budget monthly if you're not getting a huge amount of money in the first place. And it's not always open to the kind of people we're talking about, to open bank accounts or sophisticated bank accounts. In fact, many of them are quite frightened of opening a bank account in case they end up getting charged for direct debits that don't have money to cover them, or the other things that happen when you have a bank account that's helping to do your budgeting for you.
Dame Anne, briefly, when Ian Duncan Smith, the Secretary of State, appears before your committee in just over a week's time, can you give us a flavour of what you'll want to ask him? I guess you may be pressing him to delay the timetable for universal credit.
Well, I can't say exactly what we'll be saying, but certainly we'll be asking to see whether there's some, if there's not answers to some of the questions we have about how they will identify who the vulnerable people who will need extra help are, then that he will take what we say away and come back with some more concrete explanations as to how these things will work in practice.
Dame Anne Begg, thank you very much indeed.